level of liquor store too.
I mean, they sell beer right across the street.
They were.
Well, good evening and welcome as we are returning here once again in person for our regular meeting of Wardville City Council here on June 7th, 2021. We will begin this evening with prayer, and Mayor Hanworth has agreed to open us up.
Stand, please.
Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that you have given to us, and we thank you for the opportunity to meet here tonight in person once again after a very strange and difficult year for all of us. We ask that you would guide us tonight for the decisions that we make and help them all to be for the best of the city as a whole. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. If the clerk would please call the roll.
Hanworth.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Foy.
Here.
Widmer.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
All present, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Before we begin, we've had a request to remove an agenda item from tonight's agenda, Resolution 2521. So if I could please have a motion to do that. Yes, Mr. Morrison.
I move that Resolution 2521 be removed from tonight's agenda.
Very good, thank you.
Mosley seconds.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanworth.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And then you should have received a copy of the minutes of the May 17th, 2021 meeting. We have a motion to approve those minutes.
I move to approve those minutes.
Mr. Morrison moves.
Second.
Mr. Wilson seconds. Thank you.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanworth.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Always motion passes.
Thank you. We have no public comment scheduled for this evening, and just a reminder to those folks who may be watching here new again on the Armstrong A channel or on social media, we do invite the public to participate in our meetings. You just need to let our clerk of council know, I think it's Friday by 4, that you would like to do so. And you get 3 minutes to make your voice heard here before council. So please consider doing that if you have any questions or concerns you'd like to bring before city council. We'll move on then on our agenda to standing committee reports, and we'll begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee, who is led by Mr. Hanworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. Parks and Rec has not met, therefore we do not have a report tonight.
All right, thank you very much, sir. And we'll move on to our Utilities Committee, and welcome, Mrs. Foy.
Thank you. Nice to be here in person, Mr. President. Utilities Committee has not met, so I have no report. But just to touch on a resolution that is coming this evening, I'm sure the director will provide more color around it, but it is to modify a water main that needs replaced. It was installed in 2001, but some of the existing line was still in place. So that needs replaced this year, and we need to replace it sooner than later because the street needs to be paved. So we need to get that taken care of. So we'll talk about passing that this evening.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And then our Ordinance and Personnel Committee, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met, therefore I have no report.
Thank you very much. Our Transportation Committee is led by Mr. Mosley. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. President. Thank you. Transportation Committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
All right. Thank you, sir. And our Health and Safety Committee, Mr. Asparis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety has not met, and I have no report for tonight, sir.
All right. Thanks so much. Our planning committee is led by Mrs. Whitmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Planning committee did meet last Monday to discuss the future of the, I don't know what to call it anymore, the Ludwig Building? The Manhattan Building?
Yes.
However you like to refer to that. In some of our last meetings, we had discussed the potential of the Railroad Association taking the building. The Historical Society would like to take the city, would like the city to take the building because the Railroad Association has decided they're not interested. So we discussed ways that we move forward, and we felt that the first step was to have an asbestos survey done, and then once that's complete, we can figure out what the best step is after that.
All right. Thank you very much. And then our Finance Committee, Mr. Wilson, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. Finance Committee has not met, so I have no report.
All right. Thank you, sir. There are no special committee reports, and so then we'll move on to our administrative reports, and we begin with Mayor Hanworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I only have one item tonight, and that is another change on our design review board. We've had more changes on that board on 1 year than we have on some of the other ones for 5 or 6 years. All of them very legitimate reasons. This time, Stephen Seifert is going to step down. I believe he's moving and will not be in the area. And I would like to ask Council's approval to add Justin Hayslip to that position. I've talked to Justin, and he said he would be glad to do that. And we certainly thank Stephen for his time on the design review board.
I move to approve Justin Hayslip to the design review board.
Good.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Mosley?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Whitmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanford?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Thank you, Council.
Very good. We'll move on then to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have three summer concert series planned for this season, and we kick it off this Thursday with a local favorite, the Chardon Polka Band. Haven't heard of them. They have become quite the popular polka band. They first started out as a high school band and have continued to play at parks, festivals, parades, parties, nursing homes, and many places for Oktoberfest events, spreading out from Indiana to Georgia to South Carolina to Mexico, New Mexico, and Oregon. Their music includes traditional polka, but also includes morphing rock songs with a polka twist, including Mr. President's favorite, We're Not Going to Take It by the Twisted Sister. And Lady Gaga's Bad Romance, to name a few.
Another favorite.
You don't want to miss it. So we hope to see everyone out there. If it rains, of course, we will move indoors to the Orville High School Auditorium. Hope to see everyone 7 p.m. this Thursday to get it kicked off. Then there will be two additional concerts throughout the summer. July 8th will be Blue Lunch, which is the Cleveland Area Blues Band. And August 5th will be Derbytown Chorus from Akron, which is a barbershop harmony group, which should be good. Our concrete streets projects have kicked off. As you probably noticed, they are working on the removal of the downtown curbs to replace those. And then the Ellen Church intersection is well on the way as well. Also, Kirk Avenue is being resurfacing and started. This is a CDBG project through Wayne County. The Storybook Trail project has started. Mostly so far, we've just cleared out dead trees. So that project is on the way. If the weather cooperates, they'll actually begin on the trail itself this week. The tennis court asphalt work has been completed. They are now needing a stretch of dry weather to apply the paint. So not looking good so far this week, but keep your fingers crossed. The OPWC project is out for bids and will be open in a couple weeks, and that's in preparation for the state funding to be released in July. So that's moving along as well. And I would also like to hand off my report tonight to Chief Birkbeck so he can give a synopsis of at-large dogs and how those are handled here by the city.
Not to be confused with at-large city council people. Before I launch into that, I do want a couple of updates for City Council. I want to first thank you for the speed signs. Those have been a tremendous asset, and I want the citizens to know that that wasn't a project that I brought to you. That was a project that City Council came to me and recommended, and those have been really, really well received. I want to remind everybody that we do not issue citations based on those signs. I was flagged down by a motorist who saw the red and blue flashing lights, and she wanted to know if she was going to be getting a ticket. They're not tickets issued by that. Secondly,
summer help applications have come in, and we haven't gotten any for our park security. So if anybody knows anybody, we would love to have somebody. Typically, that's a really good position for high school graduate or a college student, particularly criminal justice. So if anybody knows anybody, that we still have that position left to fill for the summer, so we'd love to have it. On to the main topic, this is one that I felt like City Council, this would be helpful for you to know some of the things that involve when we get involved with when we deal with dog complaints, because I think a lot of times you might have your constituents calling you up and want to know, you know, why is this dog running loose? Why don't the police do something about it? So first, let me start off by saying this time of year, I want to remind everybody, it's hot out today, it's super hot, and we don't want to see dogs left in cars with the windows up. We get calls about that very frequently. Somebody runs into the grocery store, and they left their dog in the car, and it doesn't take long. You might start off in the morning with the dog in the car with you, and you're just going to run inside quick, and something holds you up. You weren't expecting. And, you know, as the sun comes up, it gets hotter in that car. We really don't want to have that scenario where a dog is left in the car. Another call that we frequently get is concerns about dogs and their well-being during the day. A homeowner may leave a dog out in a pen or tied to a tree, and now we're in an area where we have concerns about the dog's well-being over the course of an entire day. And one of the things that when we get called out to that we look at is what kind of conditions are the dogs in? Is the area clean? Do they have fresh, wholesome food? Do they have water? Dogs can knock over their water during the day. And so, you know, as a resident, if you're going to be leaving your dog out, make sure that you take steps that the dog chain or leash doesn't knock over the water, and now you've got a dog sitting out all day long without any water. People are very notice these things, and they call us when they see dogs that are left out all day long, and that happens day after day after day. We've had many times where that has happened. So why don't the police take the dog? Well, because if all those conditions are met under the Ohio Revised Code, only the county dog warden, and every county is required by statute to have a dog warden, only the county dog warden can seek a court order to seize a dog under those circumstances. So that's why we just don't roll up there and us take the dog out of that situation. We would have to go through, and thankfully this is a rare, these are fairly rare situations, but it seems that when they happen, it seems to be one resident, and we keep going back and dealing with it over and over again. So you might not think about those types of things. You may, you know, as a person who calls, you might see the police go there, and then nothing happens. They drive away, and they didn't take the dog, and they didn't do anything to help the dog. Well, the first thing we did was assess whether it was safe for the dog to be out there, and the second thing is, if it's not, if there is an issue, then we would be in contact with the county dog warden. Dogs running at large. Under city ordinance, or I'm sorry, what we do in these situations, a lot of times you may get a citizen that calls you with concerns about, you know, the police, I called and the dog was running at large, the police didn't do anything about it. There's a concern that we have as police officers. This isn't new. This is since the day I was a police officer in 1992. The rule of thumb was, if that dog doesn't come up to you, if the dog is running from you, it's because the dog is afraid of you. And so if you go to catch that dog, even if it's normally a friendly dog, it can bite you. And that sets off a whole host of problems. Now you've got a dog bite. Now we have an injured employee that's going to need probably rabies shots because, let's face it, how many times does a dog that's running at large have its up-to-date rabies shots? So it creates a lot of problems. What we... Our current arrangement with the Wake County Dog Warden is this. Monday through Saturday, their normal business hours are 9:30 to 6 p.m. So what we would do in a situation like that is, if we can't corral the dog, we will notify the dog warden, or we will ask the citizen to call the dog warden directly. The number to call the dog warden directly is 330-804-3647. And they also have operate WayneDogShelter.org. And currently, the county dog warden is Caitlin Lehman. And the location is 5964 Burbank Road. On occasion, we will pick up a friendly dog, or a citizen will capture a dog, and we will take control of it. That creates a whole other host of issues for us, though. We are now responsible for the care and well-being of that dog. So we're one of the few places, by the way, that actually has kennels that house them. Most villages, and Worcester is close enough to that, that they can just run it straight out there. Well, it's about a 22 to 25 minute round trip for us to send an officer over to Worcester to Burbank Road to the north side, and then they have to take the dog and put the dog in a kennel and come all the way back. So that's an hour, basically around an hour to accomplish that. In the middle of the night, if there's only two officers working, now we've left our department with just one officer while the other one is over there dropping the dog off. So we can on occasion put it in a kennel and hold it until the dog warden can come over, and sometimes that happens. Other times we'll hold, you know, if this happens on a Saturday, that's a couple days that the dog gets left in a kennel, so we do try to run it over there ourselves. In the event that there are two other ordinances that we deal with whenever we are talking about a dog running at large, or if we come out to a house to check on the well-being of a dog, and that is the annual registration, which is a city ordinance, required to have the tags, and then the state ORC requires that those tags be worn. So those are two other concerns that we would have that we would ask that residents make sure that not only do you have your dog wearing the tags or have registration updated, but wear the tags so that we can actually get back in contact with you return your dog to you. So with that, the last thing is barking dogs, and that is City Ordinance 50521. And there is no set time. A lot of times people think that there's a set time of day where the dog's barking. You know, there might be, and people think about that as far as noise ordinances in general. There is no set time of day where if a dog barks, it's a violation. If it doesn't bark, it's habitual. And it's up to the officer whether it's unreasonable. And that's a key component of this, is the dog's barking unreasonable? So if we pull up, we get a call to a residence, and we tell the officer, try to sit a distance away and listen to see if you can hear the dog continuously barking without any provocation. We have dogs to alert us when a stranger shows up to the house. So when the police officer is walking up to the front door and the dog is barking, the dog is doing its job, so we don't necessarily count that as unreasonable or habitual. So we do try to sit a distance away and listen first and see if we can hear the dog barking. So those are just some talking points to give you. Obviously, if there's many, many more things that come up that I didn't cover tonight, so feel free to contact me about that. But as we get into summer, this is usually the time of year when we see a lot of these types of calls where people are concerned about a dog being left outside or in a car, particularly at night. Windows are open more for people, so you're going to hear those barking dogs. So I thought it would be very good to give you this information so that you guys can maybe better respond to a constituent who asks, or direct them to me, or better yet, if they actually have the resource to go direct with the dog warden during the dog warden's hours, that's great. Very last thing has nothing to do with that. I just want to mention that Medway now has a TIP 411 as well. And that's really cool because it matches up with ours. So for ours, if you want to send a tip to the Orville Police Department, in the recipient line of a text message, you type in 847-411. That's the exact same number you use for Medway. So in order for it to come to Orville, you would type in OPD space and then your tip. And if you wanted to go directly to Medway, it's just Medway space in your tip. So that's really neat that we've got that same system in place. You have something that's related to an Orville incident, Orville tip you want to share with us, you just type in 847-411 as the recipient, OPD, space, and then whatever it is, the information you want to pass on to us. And then if it's a drug-related, we would recommend that you send it directly to Medway, and it's 847-411, Medway, space, and then your tip. They don't have their apps like we do yet because it takes a little bit of time for Apple Store and Google Play to develop those apps, but those are coming, I'm told, and then you'll just be able to download those direct to your phone, just like you can with the OPD app. So, any questions before I go? Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I have no personal reason to ask this, but if people complain about barking dogs, would the police department notify the dog owners?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we have a mechanism in place, and I didn't do a deep dive into that, so I actually have letters to send to let people know. And we also have the nuisance ordinance as well. So if it's something that is verified by the officer doesn't necessarily need to take an action that night. I don't have any requirement that they must issue a citation, but what we can do is we can label that a nuisance. And then after a certain number of nuisances, which I think is pretty fair, that after three or four occurrences that we have verified that this is happening and this is a problem, then they would start to get the fines associated with a nuisance. But the officer does have the discretion to issue that citation that night. And yes, we do let them know if it's a valid complaint. If there's a violation, we would contact them. Is that answer the question? Okay.
Last question. Is my name on any of those letters?
I don't believe so.
Go ahead. I would just like to say thank you. This is very helpful. I think this is a lot of questions that I had personally. Would you recommend in the scenario when there is a stray dog, you talked about the hours of the warden being open, would you recommend a citizen call the police department, or should they call that warden first?
The reality is they would probably call us. It probably wouldn't dawn on them to call the dog warden, and we would direct them. And I have it worked out with the WARCOG that if you call us, at least I encourage the dispatcher, they can do it direct. They can literally just forward your number straight to the dog warden, and that's pretty, I don't know how frequently that happens because we wouldn't get those calls. We'd never know. The dog warden would just go direct and deal with them directly. So it really doesn't matter. We have a mechanism in place for them. If they call the WARCOG, we can get them to the right person. And if for some reason we need to come out, there is an option. We can go out or we can let them know. And if there's literally nothing going on and we've got time, there's no reason why we can't give them instructions. Or what we do ask is if it's possible for them to hold the dog in lieu of us holding the dog, if they're willing to do that and make arrangements the next day for the dog warden or later that day, that helps us out tremendously.
Second part of the question, I know you have an internal memo or document with these different scenarios. Is there something that's shareable to the public that covers a lot of those scenarios?
Yeah, we've got a procedure that actually, I had to create in 2019. This became one of those issues where I actually had to hammer out a lot of the information that we talked about today. So it is it's a public record.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Chief, asking for a concerned citizen. Again, no relation to myself.
Okay.
If a dog approaches a runner or a cyclist in a menacing way and even nips at him, how do you guys handle that? Is that some dog running a large thing, or is it?
It can be considered an aggressive dog, and that's a different, and in fact, that's a really good point. So we would handle that considerably different than that they will send out a dog warden after hours for. That's a scenario where an aggressive dog that you would have to know some of the details. If you're out by, let's say, Wayne College running, and it's nowhere near its own property, if it was on an area where it was an invisible fence scenario, and assuming that there wasn't an actual physical bite, a physical bite is completely different. That is required by law that we take a report for that. But if it's one where it just charged at you, but then it pulled up because of the invisible fence, it's on its own property, you can still call us. There's no problem calling us, and we can get to the bottom of why, what happened, and how safe or unsafe it was. But yeah, you're right. That is a scenario that we need to be called about, because we will definitely get the ball rolling on some different things with that scenario. So
thank you.
All right.
One comment for Chief there.
the opening for security officer, not officer, but security person for any young man or woman who's maybe interested in going into the law enforcement future, it's a really good experience for them. So,
yeah,
you know, if somebody's thinking about that, that'd be a real good thing to get into.
I would think that would be a nice feather to have in your cap down the road to interview, and the folks that we've had that served in that role have been great, and not all of them have gone into law enforcement, but we've had a number that have, and I'd be, well, for instance, I believe that it was Corey Seiler's brother, and now he's a police officer up in Wadsworth, and, you know, we got to know him, we were able to vouch for his character and how his work ethic, and it was a really nice, good experience, and I consider that to be a pretty good success story that he went on to become a police officer. So, all right. Thank you all.
Thank you. One more comment.
Yes.
This kind of goes with Mr. Wheeler's report, and I didn't get it in there in time. On the downtown curbs, I did have a few people say, why are you replacing those curbs? And I think the obvious reason is where some of them are broken and fallen off and that sort of thing. But the other one that I don't think people see a lot of is that whole strip there was, had, you know, this was all done in, what, 93, 94? So it's been there a long time, even though some of us still think that wasn't very long ago. It actually broke, so it's not all one piece anymore. It's just a curb sitting on the street,
right?
Which isn't safe. That's what the plows catch and push and move around. So that's the reason we wanted to do that, just so people know.
That's my report tonight, Mr. President. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And then we'll move on to our utilities department. Mr. Bregger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, I'll speak to the resolution coming up under a new business, but just wanted to bring council aware there may be some information coming out in the upcoming weeks. We have some activity out of the state of Illinois' governor's office and the Illinois legislature that's looking to decommission prematurely the balance of their coal plants in the state. If you're aware, we have interest in a one of the last coal plants that was built in the United States over in the state of Illinois. So we are working those legislative angles as much as we can here. This is not a federal mandate. This is a decision that the state is looking at pursuing as they look at rebalance their energy mix or portfolio kind of going forward, leaning more towards renewables. They have a lot of nuclear assets over there that they're rallying behind. But there are a handful of coal plants that they are actively pursuing legislation. They've actually called their legislators in after while they've been on break to address this. So we are working with our counterparts in that state, but they're looking at the possibility of wanting to retire those plants in the 2030-2035 time frame. We have debt out invested in that plan until 2047, so that could be a big deal for the members of that project. We don't have a lot of energy coming from that plant, but I liken the analogy to it's like the governor of Ohio coming in here telling you need to move up your mortgage payment on your house by 15 years or else we're taking your house. That plant was just put in service in 2012. So that has a lot of the owners a little bit on edge right now. But again, it's a state action, not a federal action. So we are limited on what we can do from an intervention perspective. So it's a little bit different position that we found ourselves in by having some of these generation assets located outside the state of Ohio. But you may see something out there. The city of Cleveland is a big participant in that project, and that may hit some press up there. So if you see something in the news or something like that, that will be what that's related. And certainly as they go through some of these next steps over the next couple of weeks, we'll certainly follow back up and have some more discussion on that. We're trying to get some exemptions out of that looking at alternative dates, things along that line. But it has some legs underneath it. It's something that up until 2 weeks ago wasn't even on the radar. They had that facility exempt and a couple other coal plants exempt there. Governor kind of changed his mind and decided to go a little bit different direction. And so were our association, AMP, and some of our other counterparts in that state and other communities outside of Ohio are working hard to try to resolve that and come up with something that will work for the betterment of us. So if you see something on the paper, most likely you'll see something by the plane dealer, if there is anything, possibly the Columbus Dispatch. I'm pretty not sure that's not going to be a big topic there for the Daily Record, but you never know where the interested parties will talk about that. Other than that, Mr. President, that's all I have tonight.
Thank you very much. Move on then to our finance director, Ms. Strimlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to give you an update on the income tax situation. Last Tuesday, the Senate Finance Committee released proposed changes to House Bill 110. That's the state operating budget. The changes that they're proposing would retroactively alter language provided in Section 29 of House Bill 197 that was adopted in March of 2020. That was proposed by Governor DeWine. If you recall, that's the section that temporarily froze the municipal income tax withholding procedures for non-resident employees. So essentially, the language that they're adding would require municipalities to honor refund requests back to March of 2020. So obviously, it's a big concern for us. Several months ago, the mayor contacted Senator Roebner. We had a telephone conference with her. Councilwoman Widmer joined in on that conversation. We went over all of our concerns, not only from Orville, but from a state perspective and economic perspective. The mayor's also reached out to Representative Wiggum. He's requested a meeting so that we can, again, express our concerns to him. Obviously, we're concerned about the refunds on a closed tax or a closed fiscal year. But beyond that, we're concerned how this will impact the treatment of employees who continue to work from home and how their withholding tax will be treated. So we'll keep you updated as we learn more, but I would encourage all of you, if you have a chance, to reach out by email or phone to our representatives of both the House and the Senate and give them an idea what the impact to Orville would be. Hopefully, they'll take all those things into consideration. I know a lot of municipalities are doing that. And if you need any information from me to communicate with them, we'll be more than happy to give you some bullet points and some numbers that we have calculated on estimates depending on the number of people that continue to work from home. One other, just a reminder, the budget books will be sent out next Friday. If as you're going through those, you have any questions or concerns, you can contact myself or any of the other directors, and we can go over those with you. And if you determine you'd like to have a workshop, we can schedule that as well. And that's all I have this evening.
All right, thank you very much. And we'll go on to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will be bringing to the next meeting some proposed legislation for the charter, with the changes to the charter that we've talked about. Have a meeting that I will be a phone conference that I'll be having with the Worcester Law Director to discuss some of the procedures and the mechanisms that they employed to do the same thing last year. So you could be looking for that, and we were hoping to get that in time for the November ballot, which will be early August. So we need to get moving on that. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you very much. For my report, I had a couple of questions about just the fact that we are meeting together again in person. And so I thought I would just take a moment to explain what our thinking is here as a body for meeting together here in person. I know various times along the way, since we've been meeting virtually, someone has expressed interest in, hey, when are we going to meet together again in person? And my view has been, I don't believe this room lends itself well to social distancing. We did one meeting like that, and we were kind of all spread out. you know, well, the room isn't set up very well that way for us to have microphones placed for everybody to be heard, for, you know, camera angles to be recorded, you know, because these meetings are videotaped as well. So I didn't think that worked very well. And then my other thing was I felt like if we had to wear masks, I'd rather not meet in person. And so those are the two big considerations. And so really it was when those mandates and those restrictions were lifted that we discussed this as a body at our, I believe, our last council meeting, where I solicited feedback from members of council and administration. I received all positive support for meeting again in person. I didn't hear any concerns about doing so. And we have taken steps to make sure that we can meet together safely. One of the things we did with our CARES Act funding is we now are able to have this building sanitized. And my understanding is they actually take bacteria counts before and after the cleaning, if I'm stating that correctly, I've heard. So that's one step. Of course, we have hand sanitizer available and so forth. But we do have room in our gallery for a normal size crowd to be able to be socially distanced. So we feel like we are able to take adequate safeguards for us to be able to meet together in person. And I just think it's really valuable, that interaction that we have and the fact that we work so well together as a team. It's just great to be together once again, rather than looking at all of you in a little, as a little thumbnail. You know? And then, of course, you have technical problems and so forth that you encounter from time to time. One thing that we found that was surprising, meeting virtually, was we were able to either record those meetings and post them on social media, or people were able to join our meetings live. I think at a recent committee meeting, we had 27 people logged in, I think someone mentioned. That would be a huge crowd here. And so obviously there was additional access there that residents were able to tune in and hear their local government at work, and then to be able to share their own views and their own comments at our meetings. And of course, we could record committee meetings much easier on Zoom. And then we had good viewership as well online. I know a number of the times I would check on our viewer counts, and a lot of times it would be around 2,000 views when I would check in, people viewing our meetings. So one thing that we do want to continue is that level of accessibility and interactivity with the public. And so our IT department here for the city is researching what various options we may have to be able to do that. And so committee meetings, I think the technology is easier for us to be able to do that, but these larger meetings, especially being able to broadcast them live or anything like that, requires a lot more thought to go into that. And so we're just researching what might be possible. Of course, you can do anything with an unlimited budget, which we don't have, of course. So, but we'll be seeing what is possible and doing whatever we can to increase the reach of our meetings. And so one thing that I wanted to do here as well was especially take a moment to welcome Mrs. Foy, our newest council member, who joined us actually last June, but we haven't actually seen her. So great to have you with us, and welcome to City Council. We appreciate the contribution you've been making here from afar. But anyway, just appreciate the involvement that you've had and what you've contributed to our group here so far. So glad to have you with us here. Also want to welcome Armstrong Utilities. Mike has joined us there, and so he is excited about serving our community and serving us. And so you can see there a lot of equipment that he has brought, and so we appreciate his commitment there to provide coverage for our meetings. One thing I'm excited about is Mike has agreed to accept the responsibility to upload the recordings that he makes to the Armstrong YouTube channel. So that will allow us to continue to increase the avenues and the channels that we have to be able to share these meetings. So we appreciate Armstrong Utilities' commitment to our community and to making those these meetings publicly available. It's also great to have the Daily Record back with us as well. Thanks, Sam, for coming tonight and providing coverage of our meeting. As an interesting aspect, when we go to meeting virtually, that's something that became pretty apparent pretty quickly, is how do we get out the message of the work that we are doing here and how it affects our local community because it wasn't being recorded any longer on Armstrong. And so that's something that we very much appreciate, the commitment of our local media outlets to be here and to cover the work that we are doing, because it does have impact on our residents. So it's very much appreciated. I just want to say thank you. Very good. That's all the report that I have for this evening. At our next council meeting, we'll be bringing a liquor license permit to council, and so we'll give you a chance to review that information, and we'll formally present that then at our next council meeting. So, all right, very good. We'll move on to on our agenda here, and first of all, we have no old business for this evening, and so, Mr. Larson, we're ready to proceed with new business.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 2221. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second. Mr. Hamburg.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 2221. A resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities to enter into a contract and or contracts without bidding to modify the water mains on West High Street and declaring an emergency.
Very good. We'll ask Mr. Bettinger to tell us more about this.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. As Ms. Foy teed up, we are looking to make some improvements to an existing water line that extends north of Crown Hill and High Street up west to our city limits. We currently have two water mains that serve that region up there, one that was put in over 60 years ago that serves about 23 customers. We've been having a lot of leaks on that line. We are looking to abandon that line, integrate those services onto a newer line, newer being 40-45 years newer, make all those connections ahead of Mr. Wheeler coming in and doing street upgrades on that portion of High Street later on this summer. We're looking at roughly $93,000 of a contractor work that we'll be farming out for that. We have probably about $20,000 worth of materials in there. It, when it's all said and done with the leak problems that we've been having up there the past 5-6 years should be eliminated. And we'll also have a lot better flow. That that district up in the western portion of town and those customers, those couple dozen customers in there, the more circulation of water, which is dependent on the number of customers using that water, will also kind of improve that water quality up there. Not that it's poor, but it, there will be some improvement in that. So our plan is to get this stuff ahead of time prior to Steve coming in doing doing the street works. When we begin that work, we'll have about 20 days worth of construction. Those will mainly be making cuts in the road to make these taps. We're not replacing any line. At the end of the day, we'll just cap and we'll seal that smaller 6-inch line, and it will just get retired in place. But there will be multiple taps or cuts, street cuts on there that will be temporarily repaired until the final repaving of that street takes place. And I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding that.
Mr. Bettinger, this was part of the long-term plan anyway. It's just being moved ahead because of the street repairs.
Right. Every year, at the beginning of the year, we get a list of right. Of upcoming potential street work. We compare that against our list of issues that we have going on there. And to the extent we can get there and get that work done ahead of time, address some not high priority issues, but issues nonetheless that it never fails. As soon as you redo a street, then you start having problems. So. It's a little premature as far as the life of the line goes. Not, a big problem area for us, but a huge opportunity considering the traffic on that street.
Thank you. I appreciate the fact that you're always looking ahead on these things.
Yeah, we've got caught behind. before on not being more coordinated in these efforts, and we've done a great job over, you know, for quite a number of years. So it's very helpful having that that interaction, you know, between the two departments there, so we're not going in there and undoing all the good work. It's like everybody else, we have limited resources and want to get those things done right so they have long lasting impact for the community.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Very good. One of the things that you learn as you get involved in local government is just how important to the success of a community is infrastructure. So one of the most important aspects of a community is actually what's under the ground, what you can't see. So we appreciate your work there.
And what will help us tonight, if we could move this legislation tonight, I'd appreciate that. That will allow us to get the contractor in. One of the things that we're finding, these contractors have a lot of pent-up work from 2020 that's not being able to get done. And we've actually been trying to get this work done probably about 4 or 5 months or so ago, and there just was not availability for these folks. So we kind of got a window of opportunity with a couple of contractors, and they said, you've got this gap of time in our calendar, and you either get it done now, or you go about trying to do it yourselves. Not that we couldn't do it; it would just take us a little bit longer. They have the materials; they'll be digging down deeper than we normally operate.
Yes, Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. President. Also, know that between Steve and Dan, they go through every single contractor from utilities to water to everything before that road gets tore up. That way, if it does get tore up, then you say next year or the following year, we know that there's some kind of warranty work going on. So I'm pretty sure that this is probably a fruit of Dan going through his checklist saying, hey, you know, if you have something underneath this ground, you better get to it because we're not tearing up our road. So I know that there's a domino effect there to where Rutherford needs to do his stuff in order for Dan to continue with his contractors. And we all know that contractors are struggling with employees and everything else to stay on schedule. So I'll be okay with this going tonight.
All right, pretty good. Thank you, Mr. Morrison.
Mr. President, because of all that's been said and the necessity of taking care of this water line before we do the street work, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes, thank you, it's been a while, regarding the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Mosley seconds.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamper?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Motion passes.
I move resolution 2221 be adopted as read.
Second. Second, Mrs. Foy.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamper?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. Larson.
Resolution 2321. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 2321. A resolution authorizing the mayor to enter into a partnership agreement with the City of Worcester and Wayne County for applying to the Ohio Department Services Agency for a small city's community development block grant for community housing impact and preservation CHIP funds and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler, perhaps you could explain this for us.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is what's called a CHIP grant. It's $1 million grant. It's a partnership with the City of Worcester, receiving $350,000. City of Orville would receive $261,000, and Wayne County would receive $400,000, assuming the grant was approved. This money would then be eligible to our property owners as an income-based grant. That would help with home repair, down payment assistance, homeowner rehabilitation, those kind of projects. so very critical to our community and to those folks that need a little help with improvements to their homes. Once this grant is approved, if it is, then we'll Kristen will come before council, kind of give an update on that and try to get the word out so that our property owners are aware of this opportunity and that process which they have to go through in order to get the funds. So an exciting opportunity, and we would ask for approval tonight if possible so that we can move forward on the application.
Thank you. Any questions?
Mr. President, given that this is money that we've applied for and can take our fair share of it along with the county and the city of Worcester, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
I'll second.
Second, Mrs. Whitmer.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Whitmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
I move resolution 2321 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Whitmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Mr. President?
Yes.
If that may.
Yes.
I noticed a typo in resolution 24-21.
Oh.
In the title, it says Oracle Bathhouse Renovations. It actually should say Orville Park Gateway Project. I did not do this legislation. I can point that out. I screwed up the other one, but not this one. So I would ask if that be amended to accurately reflect. The rest of the legislation is exactly the way it should read, so I'm not sure what happened there.
All right, very good. Yes, I want to refer to our law director and make sure we follow proper procedure.
Yeah, I guess we need a motion to amend the title. And I'm sorry, I don't have the legislation in front of me. My iPad is dead today. So it's okay in the legislation itself?
The legislation reads perfectly other than the actual section that says the title, actually, just the title. Yeah.
I apologize, I don't know what happened, but it probably happened in my office. So I think we need a motion to amend the title. The body of the legislation itself seems to be okay. So
can I have the correction of the title, please?
You said Orville Park Gateway Project.
Yes.
To remove Orpool Bathhouse Renovations.
Yes, ma'am.
Orville Park Gateway Project. Okay.
Does everyone understand what we're trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, question?
I was going to make the motion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Any questions first? Okay, very good. Now you may make your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we amend Resolution 2421 with the removal of Orpool Bathhouse Renovations in the title and replace it with Orville Park Gateway Project.
I'll second.
Second, Mrs. Butcher.
Mosley?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Whitmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you. Now we can proceed.
Okay. Had I already motioned the reading of this?
I think I cut you off right before. So
okay. Yep. Thank you. I move, resolution 2421. I move this resolution be placed on first reading. Okay.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Boyd?
Yes.
Whitmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 2421, a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into an agreement with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources for grant funds for the Orville Park Gateway Project and authorizing the Board of Control to advertise for bids and enter into a contract and or contracts and or to procure quotes and enter into a contract and or contracts without bidding for the project and declaring an emergency.
Very good. This is an exciting project that is taking place. And Mr. Wheeler, perhaps you could tell us more about this.
Yes, sir. So this is a Ohio Department of Natural Resources grant that actually was submitted into the annual state budget last year to move forward for two different kind of projects, one being a new restroom facility and the, what we're calling the Gateway Park area, which is hopefully everyone's familiar with. That's where the bowling alley was prior, or at least some of the park is where the bowling alley was prior. The rest is where the restrooms are, would be located, are, has always been city land. This also is funding for a potential spray park, which we are still looking at potential locations for that. There's some real logical reasons to have it closer to the pool from a lifeguard standpoint, those kind of things. ODNR is well aware that we're still looking at locations, and they're okay with it. So it is called the Gateway Park Project because that was how it was originally applied for, so that's where the name came from. But $341,000. I have to give credit where it's due, and you know, Representative Wiggum was an influential part of this process, and so and Senator Rogner also jumped on board from the Senate side. So it's kind of how we got here, and ODNR now is ready to move forward with the paperwork, and that's why I bring the resolution to you today.
Thank you. Mr. Hanwork, I believe, is sitting on that committee that's helping to do the planning as well, so he's available if you have any questions. Yeah, Mr. Wilson.
Just one question. Confirm, is the grant covering 100% of the funds for both?
Well, to be very honest with you, we won't know that until we go out for bid. The spray park, kind of the estimates we've received early on are quite a bit more than what you would think, but I would say we'll cover a large portion of it. Let me put it that way. And whatever was needed, you know, if we need some more in there. We've actually budgeted a little extra for the restrooms in case we were able to get those done this year. So, but, and then the, you'll see the spray park in next year's budget. And we'll probably put a little extra in there as well. So, but overall, a large portion of the project is being funded by this grant. Yes?
Do you have a location for the restrooms?
Yeah, the restrooms we were looking at down on the back side. On what would be the northern side of that property, adjacent to the ball field down there. There's a bit by the ball field, then there's the stands.
Yeah, the pickleball court.
And the restroom, good point, sir. Yeah, that's a great, yeah. And it's kind of in between, diagonally from the ballpark and the pickleball court.
Sure. Mm-hmm. The stand of oak trees that's down there now, will it affect those?
We are working, no. Our goal was to not have any removal of trees, might be some limbs being trimmed and those kind of things. But yeah, our arborist was down there with us too to great. Kind of try to make sure we're protecting the trees.
Thank you.
Yep.
So we are noticed that these materials have been delivered down there. Do we have a timeline on installation of that walkway?
My understanding is that's supposed to begin in the next week or so.
Huh. Good. That'd be good to see it take shape.
I just called him last week, and he said the same thing to Ryan, too. It's mid-June is when they hope to get here. So.
Okay. Any other questions?
Timeline on this?
Just a matter of, we can, you know, obviously, if we're able to approve it, the sooner we can get the agreement done on our end, and hopefully, maybe, even be able to bid the restrooms out this year.
I would say that given the fact that this has all been well researched, it's been looked at for a long time, you applied for the grant funding over a year ago, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Hanwork.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanwork.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Boy.
All
ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you. I move resolution 2421 be adopted as read.
Second. Mr. Wilson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanwork?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you. We have deleted the final item of our agenda for tonight, and so we have reached the point of our agenda where we have an opportunity for comments for the good of the order. Does anyone have anything to share? If not, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Whitmer.
Handward?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Whitmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Very good. Our meeting is adjourned until June 21st, 2021. Thank you. Wow. Have a good evening.
I didn't butcher that, did I?
I didn't want to get too many weeks. Everything that we talked about, trash, everything that we talked about. Yeah, I mean, there's so much still kind of left to be.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I'm not saying that word. I'm not saying the word.
Apart from working.